All right, so here we are for the Orient Hour special, 2005-06 promotion season special. I'd like to welcome some very, very special guests who've decided to join us for today's show. Gary Alexander, Joe Keith, John Mackey, Craig Easton, Matt Lockwood. How is everybody? How are you all?
I'm very
all
good.
All good, yeah.
Excellent, perfect. We're also joined in the studio by Trevor Sinfield, Lee Boyce and Andy Gilson. Hopefully you're all right chaps as well.
All good, Bill.
Excellent. All right, well, let's make a start then and go straight into it. So we started the season. Over the summer, we made five new signings that became an integral part of the promotion squad. Those signings being Glyn Garner, Shane Tudor, Joe Keith, Daryl McMahon and Craig yourself as well. Craig, how did you feel coming into the squad when you first signed? What were your first impressions?
To be honest, I didn't really know much about League Two football. Came down to Scotland. Nobody could understand me. It took the boys a bit of season to understand me. They probably still don't anyway. Joey Keith, he'd never had a clue what I was saying. Him and Donny Barnard, they would just nod their head and say yes at everything I said. So, I came down, trained with the boys for one day, stayed in the hotel and just talked to Lingy and then got it sorted out. And, you know, I just had a good feeling about the place, the whole thing. I wasn't sure what the standard was going to be like or anything, and I come down and the boys were like popping about training one day, and I came home and I remember saying to Laura, she says, that's my wife, she says, what do you think, do you want to do it? And I went, yeah, definitely. And the way Martin sold the club to me was that they were really going to have a go for promotion that season. He was right up for it from the start, and I thought, you know what, just want to try and be successful, trying to achieve something. And I think everything came together. You mentioned the signings, but the guys that were already there, I think they were sort of like building up to something in the years before that, maybe the season before that. And don't know, I just think we had a good blend of youth experience, guys wanting to prove themselves. Bit of a ragtag bunch, to be fair. I think the boys would admit that. We're a wee bit, a total different mix of people, different mix of cultures, and I think it just all came together at the right time, and it's the best squad I've been involved with.
And Joe, you the same, so you joined as well, and obviously you scored on your debut, didn't you? So what was the first few days like when you joined?
Not great for me, because pre-season's not my strongest point. I'm quite far behind in the running and things like that, so pre-season was pretty poor for me, and then luckily the season starts, and like you say, I scored early on, and then found myself out of the team after a few games, and then once I got back in, I was in for the rest of the season. But I'd known Gaz from coming through the youth team at West Ham, so but like Eastie says, the dressing room there was great, and it didn't matter who you were sitting next to, you felt comfortable. So that, I think that was one of the things that drove us through that season, was the dressing room.
John, coming into the season, did you think that the squad was good enough when you looked around and you saw Joe Keefe at the back of the runners during pre-season, and you couldn't understand Craig in the middle of midfield? Did you look around and you think, you know, this is a promotion squad, or did you think, oh, well, you know, maybe not?
Well, I was behind Craig, behind Jimmy at the back of the running. So, the signings in the pre-season, we had a good pre-season. There weren't a lot of long runnings, if I remember rightly. It was sort of all done around the pitch, sort of probably 800 metres was the longest run, which was, compared to previous pre-seasons, was like really good. And I think it kicked us on for a good start into that season. I think we started really well. I think Bury away, I think, was it?
Macclesfield at home, John?
Yeah.
So... And then I think we went away. I think we won the first two or three games. So yeah, it was. The squad was leading up to doing well, and obviously them five boys who come in, yeah, improved it immensely.
And as you mentioned just now, we started the season really strongly. So we started with three wins out of three. The first being at home to Macclesfield. Now, Lee, I know that you've got a question here about Effie Economy's winning goal. So I'll bring you in at this point.
Yeah, basically, I suppose Gary's the best one to answer. Echinomi, injury time, coming into injury time, with 1-0, he stops the ball on the line, like, and he just looks around. What are you thinking, like, you know what I mean?
What am I thinking? Tap it in, obviously. You know, like, he weren't 18, was he? Or 16? He was about 46 when he scored that, so... Yeah, well, you just don't... Well, I think he might have got bashed up if he hadn't put it in. The ref blew the whistle. I think he might have got bashed up in the dressing room, but obviously he stopped, he scored, and we took all 3 points, so fair play to him for having the cheek to do it.
So it was a good start to the season. We won the first three games and so found ourselves top of the league. However, we then came back down to earth with a bit of a bump after we got thumped 4-1 at home to a Rochdale side that included the likes of Ricky Lambert and Grant Holt playing up front for them. How did that feel? Sort of, you know, like, because that then started a bit of a bad run when we didn't have a win for about four games. Did that dent the confidence at all?
I mean, it would do, coming off the back of a defeat like that. You know, it's not gonna be easy, is it? But the thing is, I think what the boys have alluded to so far, you know, we had such strength in the dressing room, confidence in our own ability. You know, without a doubt, it was the strongest squad that I had at Orient when I was there. But not just from a sort of like an ability point of view, but even just from, you know, a leadership point of view. Obviously, you know, John was captain, but all of us, we were leaders in the dressing room. You know, there were the four, you know, the five of us. You had Steely, you had big names or big personalities in that dressing room that demanded the best out of each other. And, you know, we didn't let each other sort of get down about things. Yeah, okay, we went and lost 4-1 to Rochdale. But, that, you know, you look at the strike force they had, they've gone and played in the Premier League, those two. So, you know, bloody good players. But we just sort of stuck together. We knew what we were good at and we just played that way, you know, with Simo in midfield, with Eastie, you know, Jinky out wide. We were just a good team that played to our strengths. And that was it. It wasn't anything difficult. It, you know, there was no rocket science behind it. We just stuck with the game plan, and it over the course of the season, it obviously worked.
I remember that day really clearly because my best mate was getting married that day, and obviously I had to miss the wedding. And I got up that morning and I was shaving my head, and I think I was giving myself a number 3 at the time. And I said to my missus, "Have I missed a bit here?" And she said, "Yeah," but I took the guard off by then. And she just went bang over my head with no guard on. So when you look back at that video, I have got the whitest head going. And I spent all night at the wedding explaining to people what was going on. On top of that, we got bashed. But that's what sticks out for that day for me. Just the whitest head going.
So, as I mentioned, we went on a run where we didn't win for four games until we won 3-2 away at Barnet. And that meant that after 10 games, we found ourselves in seventh position, having won 5, drawn 2, lost 3, and we were 3 points off the top of the table. Gary, coming across to you, how did you feel about the start that we made?
After 10 games, if you're 3 points off top, it's obviously an open league, you know, and we had an ability, a belief that we could win games, enough games in a row to sort of go on a run. But after 10 games, if it's that close, you know, you're in with a shout, aren't you? So 10 games sort of the table takes its place and we're in amongst it, you know. So we've obviously got an opportunity a quarter of the way through the season to kick on.
And Trevor, as a fan, how did you feel at that point in the season? Were you optimistic? Were you thinking there's holes in the side? Or
no, you're always optimistic as a fan, of course. But the one statistic that always come out when I was looking at this is that on the 29th of October, we played Oxford at home. They were unbeaten in their home games. And we beat them 1-0. We went top and nobody knew what was going to happen later in the season. But we were ticking along nicely, in my opinion. It's hard to remember all the games because I went a fair few of the away games tonight. But, yeah, we went on a nice 10, 12-game run, didn't we, in around this part of the season, which was good. But, yeah, ever the hopeful.
Yeah, so between games 10 and 20, you know, the next 10 games saw us go on a really, really good run. Well, we won 4, drew 5. And we only lost one game in that time. We also beat Grimsby away, who at the time were top of the table. And Craig, I believe you scored the winner in that game.
Yeah, I scored the header. I think it was for a corner. Well, I don't know, it might have been the corner. My mum and dad were doing it that game because it wasn't, I was saying it was quite far down the road to Scotland, but they tried to come to as many games that were sort of at the northern half of the country as they could. So I remember that one scored and that one. I remember that performance. That was a big performance away at Grimsby. I think they were going to be, they were being touted at being up there at one point. They had a lot of good players as well. That was a massive game. It was kind of, you know, end to end. But I think the way we played in that game probably set the tone that, you know, that we were just like the guys have alluded to and the results that spoke about, we're just building belief as we go. And that's the main thing that I thought got us through the season, that every game that we were going into, we were actually thinking we were going to win it. Like, I've never played in a team. You want that feeling. I've never played in a team before or since then that you just felt like going into every game that you were going to win the game. And that includes when we went into the FA Cup games. And it was just a sort of, you know, it was just a feeling we had in the squad. There was no fear, I don't think. We would go up and down the country and just be like, right, let's go. And it was the same attitude, it was the same mindset, and I don't know, we somehow got together and kept grinding out wins. It's, well, I thought we played some great football at times, but I think near the end of the season, when we come on to it, it was just a case of we were just grinding out wins, and I think you do that by gaining confidence, by gaining belief during the season.
And Gary, I suppose one of the reasons that you as a squad had such belief would be your goal scoring, because at that particular time you went on a real goal scoring streak where you scored in about 7 or 8 games. And do you remember the Grimsby game at all?
No, not really, to be honest. I don't remember any goals either.
I tell you why I ask is because that particular game, if you'd have scored in that game, you'd have set a new record for Orient goal scorers for scoring in consecutive games. And I was behind the goal when I believe it was Steve Mildenhall playing in goal.
Yeah, Mildy. I played with him at Swindon before, like, obviously, before I played with him at Swindon, sorry, yes, Mildy, so my friend, I think he made a save in the bottom corner, didn't he?
He did, he went full length when he palmed it around full the post, length. Yeah.
Made an unbelievable save, yeah, which would have, would it have broke it or would it have levelled it? I wasn't sure.
I think it would have levelled it, yeah.
I think it would have levelled it, yeah, but yeah, he's a friend of mine, Mildy, I've still not forgiven him for that, but, yeah.
I mean, if it makes you feel any better, because all the Orient fans were behind that goal at the time, we did half give him a lot of stick. I mean, we did our bit for you.
No, that's it. You tried, but it was obviously a great save. I do remember. So I think I hit left foot. I'm not sure, but he's made a great save. So listen, he can't do nothing about that. It's life, isn't it?
And John, as part of that run, we drew 0-0 at Macclesfield. Now, there might be a particular reason you might remember that game, John.
I got sent off, didn't I?
You did get sent off, yeah. You tangled with the beast, John Parkin, and gave him a kick up the jacksie. Do you want to talk us through what happened with that one?
I don't even think I think he stamped on my foot, and just from a reaction, my foot might have raised a bit and kicked the back of his calf, and the ref obviously see it, and yeah, got sent off.
I mean, that was a real tough game, and I think that I remember being there. It was probably the coldest game of football I've ever been at. But it also, to me, that gave me a real sense that actually this is a side that is not going to give up. Gary, I think you ended up playing centre half at one point during that game. But Andy, do you remember that game at all? Do you remember the battling spirit we showed to get through?
I don't actually, because for a lot of the season, I was actually in Devon doing ITV's matches down there. So I came back for some of the matches, but not for some of them, obviously.
All right, well, that takes us into Christmas and New Year then. So, you know, we're nearly through the first half of the season. And just out of interest, Matty Lockwood, coming across to you, how did you feel first half of the season went up to Christmas at that point?
Yeah, I mean, we were, like you say, it was sort of decent sort of season, wasn't it? I mean, like I think, like the boys have alluded to there, we just felt confident, even though, you know, we weren't winning every week. We had our ups and downs, and you sort of just doing the usual for him, wouldn't you? You win a couple, you lose a couple, you draw a few, you throw away points that you probably should have picked up on. But the belief in the dressing room was always there. And whoever we were playing, we always felt we had a chance of winning. And I think that showed in the cup run. You know, but it was one of those seasons that you just felt that it was in our grasp to make something happen. You know, it was, in other years, you sort of always hoped, you know, we hope to get in the playoffs, and if we get in the playoffs, and, you know, hopefully we can go up. But this year, it just felt different. I think the boys would agree. It just,
you know, we had the belief in that dressing room that we could go on and get go up.
We move into January then, and in January we made two signings, which was Adam Tan from Notts County and Paul Connor from Swansea, who joined the side, who were flying high at that point. And this brings us to the FA Cup run. So in the FA Cup run, we beat Chesterfield in a replay in the first round, followed by Rushden and Diamonds, which led to us getting Fulham away in round three. John, how did it feel drawing Fulham away in the FA Cup?
Yeah, massive, obviously, test ourselves against the top team. In the top division, going in there with like loads of confidence. We knew if we got a result, it would kick us on in the league. So that was the main objective, to try and at least get a good performance. And like what happened, what followed was, was brilliant. Brilliant day.
Yeah, Matty, how did it feel for yourself?
Yeah, like John said, it was fantastic. You know, when you sitting there looking at the cup draw, you just want to get a Premier League club, obviously, away. And I suppose when Fulham came out, it wasn't one of the big guns, so you sort of thought, it was good, obviously. And then you sort of thought, hang on, we might have a chance here. And I remember sitting in the dressing room when the team sheet came through, and they made quite a few changes. And I actually went out on the warm-up, and a friend was there who was a scout for, I think he was a scout for Arsenal at the time. And I went over to him, and I said, I think we're going to win today. I said, they've made too many changes. I said, they're not good enough anyway to make those sort of changes. And I said, and we're playing with such good confidence. You know, we've got a good team. I said, I really do fancy ourselves. And I honestly thought we were deserving winners that day. I mean, I haven't watched the game back, obviously. You see the goals and everything like that. I don't remember the game where we pressure. I didn't feel like we were getting spanked in the second half and it was wave after wave. I actually thought we were going to go on and get another one rather than, them equalise. I know Glyn made a good save from the penalty. But apart from that, I just felt comfortable. I don't know about you boys.
I think he's right. I think the way we played, it was, and I think it's one of these things when you play against better teams or teams that are in levels above you, you almost get more possession. You almost get more time in the ball. I mean, like, I know for the laugh about Scottish Premier League, but Scottish Premier League's 100 miles an hour. League Two is 100 miles an hour, so is League One. But like, I think the further you get up, playing against better teams, you almost get more time, and I felt that suited us because we were able to play. We were one of the biggest team in the world, obviously, with the guys at the back and maybe guys as well, but in the middle of the park, we were small. Me and Samuel in the middle, and Joey and Chudes. I mean, that's probably, I was the tallest, 5'10" out of the 40s, you know what I mean? So in League Two, that's pretty rare. In football nowadays, you wouldn't see that. And I just felt the way we played was we moved the ball. And yeah, we had to defend well, really well at times. But I felt like the guys are saying, like, definitely like Lockie's saying there, we were dangerous. We still looked like we maybe could have scored another one or two, but just the way the whole day went, it was great. I remember in the dressing room before it, and there was nothing different in the lead up to it. You think you're going to play film, maybe we change things, maybe we'd work on what they were going to do. We just prepared as if we were going to be preparing for another League Two game. And the gaffers, like, you know, Lingy's team talk and Dean, they were just so relaxed. It was almost like it just passed on to the boys. We were just going out to play another game. And like we said before, it was a game we thought we could win. It was, honestly, I've never been like in a dressing room against a bigger team thinking that, you know, with that sort of feeling before. It was just a strange one. It was just brilliant the way we went out and executed what we thought we could do.
Craig, you scored in that game. You got the opening goal.
Yeah. It was just a decent wee move, I think. And then I put one for the edge of box, took a wee bit of deflection, but it was going in anyway, I'll say that. And then Joey got the second one. So it was, I think just the whole performance of the lads was amazing. And
I think we're good to go now, yeah. So Craig, you scored in that game.
Yeah, managed to get a goal. I think it was just after a good wee move. I think maybe it went up to Gaz and it kind of got laid back, and then I've taken a touch and I've hit it. And then it was, you know, it's taking a wee bit of deflection, but I'll say it was going in anyway. And then, you know, Joey gets a second. And I just felt like there was more goals in it for us. But just the whole atmosphere in the day, the Orient fans behind that goal, it was crazy, the noise they were making, and I just felt it was just one of the best moments of my career, if not the best, apart from, you know, what we're going to get to later on. But up to that point, it was amazing.
And Joe, yeah, so as Craig said, you scored the second goal for us, put us 2-0 up going into half time. What was that like, you know, scoring at Craven Cottage?
Yeah, I mean, great. It was, we'd had another neat little move, and then it comes to me, and at the time, I thought, oh, it's a good shot, and then it takes a massive deflection and goes in, and it was a Sunday game, wasn't it? And I remember watching Match of the Day the night before and thinking, if I score tomorrow, I'm going to do a knee slide. Never tried one before. I've never tried one since. And it's one of them things, I live off of that goal, but every time someone sees it for the first time, I get hammered about the knee slide. So I just didn't have enough pace to build up to get it going, really.
And what was the half-time team talk like? What did Lingy and Martin say to you at half-time being 2-0 up?
So this, I mean, right now, I've got no idea what... I can't remember that. I think my head was probably going from actually scoring, and I can't remember to this day. I just imagine the dressing room was buzzing, and so, yeah, I can't remember that.
Gary, can you remember?
Not got a clue. I think I've lost all my brain cells that night on the lash.
Celebrating, fair enough. All right, so well, let's get to the celebrations then. So John Collins scored in the 50th minute, which you know, I mean, us as fans, it was nervy. Matt, I know you said it didn't feel nervy for you throughout the game, but I know that I was biting my nails throughout. But how did you feel at the end? You know, when the final whistle went, the celebrations with the fans, it went crazy, didn't it?
Oh, sorry, yeah, no, it was brilliant. It was brilliant. I mean, that's the thing. These cup upsets don't happen very often. You know, I mean, I don't know about the other boys, but that would be, I would say, probably the only one in my career that I had like a real cup upset. So it was just great. And the fact that we had so many Orient fans in behind that goal, they were so noisy all game. You know, they were the ones that gave us that extra half a yard to make those final tackles or to, you know, create those opportunities. And it was just brilliant that we could share it with them and celebrate. And I remember after the game, my phone going mental, like everyone just texting saying, I can't believe you've done it. Yeah, well done. Obviously, as you said, like you watch Match of the Day, then the night before, sort of desperately trying to sort of make sure you're getting that tape so you can watch it back. But it was just, I think, again, with the celebrations where we're all arm in arm, you can just see the team spirit there. And the best teams that we've always had that team spirit, and the fact that we still all keep in touch, we're still on a WhatsApp group chat all these years later, just says it all for me. And the fact that we could share memories like that and go to sort of, you know, a Premier League team and get a result was fantastic.
And John, Gary's alluded to it just now that you had a big night out afterwards. Where did you go? What were the celebrations like? Talk us through that bit.
Probably ended up in Faces, I would imagine. I can't remember, to be honest.
Yeah, we did. I know
he's got Chew Bone.
We went for something to eat first, didn't we?
We went for something to eat. Barry gave us a little bit of a bonus, didn't he?
Did
we went for something to eat, and then Faces, wasn't it?
Okay, remember Faces. Can't remember the food.
Well, Jabbo had his missus waiting for him, didn't he? And went and got a newspaper for nothing.
Left her in the car,
saying, trying to drink, and got her a Metro.
Guys, was that the night that Eddie came out with us as well?
That was NBC.
I couldn't tell you before we got there.
Oh, yeah, no, it was after Oxford when Eddie came out, yeah.
Trevor, what was it like being in the away end at that point for the Fulham game?
Well, I remember the half-time because I think Joe scored in about 44 minutes. We all went down to the bar area and it was a proper party atmosphere. Down, everybody jumped up and down, crazy. 2-0 up Premier League team, and we'd all been out early doors. And I think it was a tube strike that day. So it was a bit of a pain getting there and getting back, I do believe.
Andy, go on.
Guys, did we not go back in your tube? Guys?
Mate, no, I got a cab home. I don't know how I got home.
I remember my mum and dad were doing me jumping the tube. Come back in the tube. It was brilliant because there was all Orient fans in the tube and they were all singing and that was brilliant.
Gary, there's a picture of you. It's quite a decent picture. You're actually on the tube coming from the Fulham game
and you've got your boots and all that with you. So you must have gotten the tube at some point.
I thought your dad goes, because I thought I was on it, me.
What? And then we met up after? Yeah.
Yeah, because my mum and dad was there as well. Yours was there. And then we all jumped the tube and then you jumped
off. Faces. I definitely never got the tube home from Faces.
Nah, after the game.
From the game, I think, yeah, but...
Andy, come across to yourself.
Yeah, it's because it was a different game for me, guys, because, as I say, I was in Devon and I wasn't at the actual match on the day, but they called me in about 2 weeks later to voice over the video in a studio in Feltham, along with a radio commentator, John Walker. And it gave us a chance to forensically look at that match. We had to do it in 10-minute sections. So we had to watch 10 minutes, make a few notes, do the commentary, do the next 10 minutes, so on and so on. But I've never seen such confidence in the side. It's what Matt was saying earlier. From the kickoff, it was no fluke. It was a thoroughly deserved win. And they were not fazed. And it's very rare that you see a second division side against a Premier side come out and actually take the game to them. And as Matt said earlier, a really thoroughly deserved win. It really wasn't a fluke. Yes, they gave away a penalty and made a little bit of fortune with it being saved. But that apart, you know, it was one of those rare occasions where we really were the better team on the day. And I think Chris Coleman at the end, I think he actually alluded to that in his statement at the end of the game. I think he said as much that Orient wanted it more than his players, and they did. And as I say, we sold thousands of copies of that video. I do remember that. I think it was called Messing About in the River. I think they bought it out as a one-off DVD, and it sold quite a few copies.
So we move on to the fourth round then, where we were drawn away against Charlton. We went 1-0 down early doors. What do you remember about that game, guys? Joe, coming across to you at this point.
I think that's a game where you could see the confidence in us that, as you say, we go 1-0 down early away to a Premier League team. And it didn't faze us. And I think I hit the bar in the first half and I think we'd had a couple more chances. And because we was taking the game to them, like you said, we always did. And in the second half, I think we scored quite early. And it's just one of them games that's heartbreaking when you think back about it, because you obviously know how late it was and what we would have been guaranteed to have probably been on Sky in a replay or like the following week. So, yeah, that one's heartbreaking to lose it how we did.
John, on that, I mean, how does that leave a squad feeling, you know, getting so close? And then obviously Jay Bothroyd scored, Lee Steele scored an equaliser and then Jay Bothroyd scoring in the 90th minute to send us 2-1 down and send us out. How does that, what impact did that have upon you guys at the end? Did you feel the game was like a freebie, so it didn't matter, or were you all gutted?
Yeah, obviously gutted about how it sort of panned out in the final minutes, like Joey said, would have probably got full ass on Sky back at our place. Chairman was obviously spewing that he never got the replay and, you know, a big crowd. But it obviously, we knew it would kick us on for the rest of the season and that we obviously beat one Premiership team, took another one real close. And it just gives us the confidence to do what we've done for the rest of the season.
And talking about that, so, you know, we'd kind of slipped down the table a little bit at that point and found ourselves in fifth position behind Northampton, Grimsby, Wickham and Carlisle. But it was tight with all the top three teams all being on 54, Northampton being on 53 points and us on 51. So in the top five sides, there was only 3 points separated the top five, you know. And it was such a tight season, but we had the worst goal difference at that point. Was the goal difference ever discussed sort of as part of the squad, or was it just, you know, it didn't matter? Was there a mentality change that we had to go and score more goals, or did it not matter at that point?
I never think it really been an issue or anything that was discussed like that. I think it was just a case you could just keep them in that top five, top three, whatever. I mean, like you're saying, it was so tight that as long as we could keep in and around that area, we knew that somebody's going to have a bad patch at some point in the season. It always happens. You go at ups and downs. I think we thought, you know, we've maybe had a couple of wee results that didn't go our way and we'll come back again. We thought, you know, someone else will slip up, and as long as we can keep being consistent and in and around that area, then we were going to be up there and going to be challenging right to the end. There was nothing, there was no panic, there was no, let's talk about more goals. We had Steele, we had Gaz, we had Jabo, And the thing I thought about your strikers, guys, is like, you were always pushing each other. Like, there was no, like, listen, we're all mates and that, but there was no love lost in terms of, like, you were ruthless in terms of wanting to go and challenge each other to be in the starting lineup and score goals individually as well as a team. So we always felt that goals were going to come from them three and maybe midfielders, wingers. I think we also added Wayne Cordon, so he was going to provide a few crosses as well, as Joey and Chude. So I think we felt that we had enough people on the pitch that could go and score goals and create chances.
Yeah, I mean, and John, I mean, Craig, you Cole scored six, as well. Six or seven goals yourself, didn't you? And John, you scored six or seven from centre-half as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I think, remembering, yeah, I think a couple were in the cups. But yeah, I think the whole team chipped in with their fair share.
Yeah, just going back, like you said, like we added Wayne Cordon and Paul Connor as well. I mean, I think when you add another striker, that always helps you at the latter part of the season. I think that's when I've been managers and now's coaches as well. Some of us, we always want to add another striker when you get to that January window. I think that's, and they can come in and score a couple of goals. And I think Conn scored in a couple of games that were, you know, he maybe didn't play every week, but he scored some important goals. You know, he scored a couple of important goals for us. So when you go and add those players, they can give you a bit of firepower towards the end of the season and you've got a chance.
Gary, how does, as a centre-forward, when you're signing someone like Paul Connor in January and a supply line like Wayne Cordon as well, does that push you on to think, you know, like, to you want to get in the side, or does it dent your confidence at all and make you think, well, maybe the gaffer doesn't think I'm good enough, or you know, as a four, how did that make you guys feel?
No, I think it's, for as I said before, it's probably a little bit of a wake-up call, another forward coming in, but it's healthy competition. As Craig said, we all pushed each other, we all fought hard for the number one slot, you know, so it's, if you're not scoring goals, the next one comes and gets his opportunity, so it's about taking your chances when you're in the side or playing your part in a side and winning games, so it's all healthy competition. It was probably a clever move from Lingy to bring another forward in, and as Eastie just said there, Con's got some important goals. So he more than played his part in our promotion.
And the next 12 games saw us go on another good run where we won six, drew five and only lost one. Now, as part of that, part of those 12 games, we beat Northampton, Carlisle and Wickham, who were all top four sides. And we found ourselves in third place at that point on 73 points. With four games to go. Was there anything that stood out in that run of games at all? Matt, coming across to you at this point.
Again, if you're taking points off the teams up around the top of the league, then you're always going to bump yourself up, aren't you? But again, like you say, after the sort of Charlton game, it did give us the confidence because, I thought we were so unlucky in that match and to lose how we did. But I think we took... It's the old cliche, isn't it? Taking the positives out of the game, but we did, and we really knew then. I felt that, you know, the fact that we competed with two Premier League clubs, we knew enough to go up and go up automatically and not mess around with the playoffs. Because if we'd have gone in the playoffs, we wouldn't have gone up, we would have done the usual Orient and lost in the final after, you know, being 2-0 up at half time, whatever. But you know, we really did feel that, this was our time. And you know, I think what you said there, like losing one game in the last sort of 12 or 15 games or whatever it was, just shows that we were, you know, really sort of like on that upward curve. And bringing in those extra players, you know, I didn't feel that those players were necessarily brought in to go in the starting lineup, because, you know, for me, Gaz and Steely were our top two strikers. Cons just offered something different. You know, he was sort of like, you know, a bit taller, maybe a bit more of a sort of like, you know, get it long, stick it up for him to flick it on. Obviously, Wayne Cordon's come in and he's one of those wingers that can play either side. He'll jink back, then get a cross in. But it just offered us a different option if we had any injuries. And I think, you know, you see all these top teams, they always strengthen when they're strong. And that's what Lingy did. You know, he strengthened the squad more than the starting lineup, knowing that we had a real tough run in coming up, and lads would get suspended, would get injured, and we needed like decent replacements, because at that time, you know, our squad was good, but you know, it did lack a little bit of depth. And I think Lingy got it spot on with those additions.
And I think a performance that stood out for me at that particular part of the season was drawing 3-3 with Shrewsbury. So, Matt, yourself and Connor, Paul Connor, put us 2-0 up. We then found ourselves 3-2 down. And as we all say, the typical Orient going 2-0 up, 3-2 down. But this wasn't a typical Orient side because Adam Tan equalised. So, again, two of the January signings there playing an important role and getting a vital point for us. Were there any other games for any of you that stood out particularly in that run? Trevor, anything from you as a fan at all?
Mansfield away. I think we were under the cosh that day. And that was in the running. 4 to go, I think. Maybe 5 to go. And Matty got a penalty. And it was in front of our fans. And that was a pressure penalty. And he stuck it away neatly. Because he very rarely missed. But to me, I thought that over Easter set us up for the Grimsby game the following on the Monday. And I know that one ended 0-0, but 4 out of 6. And Mansfield was the banana skin, in my opinion. I don't know what the players thought, because I thought they give us a bit of a game that day.
Yeah, I see you got there. Oh, sorry, got great over
to you. What was a Wackham game towards the end of this season? Was that the home one? What was it? Yeah. Where did that one end up?
1-0 to the Orient, that did.
Yeah, I think that one was a really tight game.
Yeah.
If I remember right, Rob Lee was playing midfield for him, and it was hard to get near because he was still quality even then. But I just felt that 1-0 against Wickham, who were up there, for me set us up for what was to come. Do you know what I mean? I thought that was a real tough one at home. But like you said, you mentioned Adam Tan there. I think, you know, bringing somebody like him in terms of his attitude and how he sort of approached his training and his working and all the rest of it, I thought he was a great signing as well, and it just gave us that wee bit of steel towards the end of the season as well, where we could. I think that was one of the ones that I would probably have said when I talked about grinding out a result earlier. That was a real grind. I don't think they played that well that day, to be honest. I think Wickham probably controlled most of the game with, and as I said, Rob Lee was controlling the strings in that. But I tell you what, we dug in and we ended up getting the 1-0, and I thought that for me that was a game that signalled that we were going to be, you know, it probably gave us an extra wee bit of boost. I think we kicked on after. I think we're getting maybe a wee bit tired towards the end of the season. I think we sort of got a wee bit more from that, you know what I mean?
Joe, coming across to yourself?
The Mansfield game, I was nodding because I just think, if I remember right, I think it was Donny Barnard, who won the penalty. And I was just thinking that summed it up, that everybody in that squad seemed to contribute a big moment at some stage during that season, and it was you're right, that was a horrible game, because it's an horrible place to go. It's a tough place to go, and I think it showed, because we could play on our day, we could play, but we just ground that out, and you didn't have to be the best team to win football matches. And like Eastie said, against Wickham, we probably got to run around that day, and you don't have to be the best team to win a football match. You just have to do the right things at the right times, and that's what we had in that squad.
So with 4 games to go then, we found ourselves in the automatic promotion places. However, we then drew with Grimsby, which was all right. Obviously, they were below us. But we then also drew the next game against Lincoln, which, whilst Grimsby won 1-0 at home to Cheltenham. And this left us in 4th place with 2 games to go. John, as captain, what do you do at that point where we've been in and around the playoffs for a long period of time? We now find ourselves with 2 games to go outside the playoff places. What's your role here around the squad?
I think that we was a confident team. Just going into training every day, making sure we'd done everything in our capabilities of making sure we was ready for the next 2-3 games, that we had to just keep on at each other and try and keep the standards we set all season. Yeah, it's just trying to remember these games. I ain't got a clue what of any games, I've got to tell you. It's all that head in the ball. I think I've got that old dementia, I think. I ain't got a clue about any games.
Well, you scored the goal at Lincoln in the third last game. Yeah, in the first early doors.
Was that 1-0?
Big goal that was.
I can't remember it. Not a clue.
You must be the only centre-half that hasn't catalogued every single goal you've ever scored, John. You, usually with the centre-halves, they make a note of them, don't they?
Yeah, I've got a few of that season, so I think they sort of, I was more worried about clean sheets.
Well, I mean, Gary, what was the reaction in the dressing room after the Lincoln game when you got back into the dressing room and we found out that Grimsby had gone above us with two games to play? What was the reaction?
Just about how we respond. Obviously, there's 6 points to play for with two games to go. And as the boys said, we had a squad there what believed, and we kept believing, you know, and we obviously had two big games to come. And if we could take points from them games, we'd give ourselves an opportunity. And it went to the last day of the season, and obviously what happened, happened.
So that's the end of part one of our 2005-2006 promotion review. Hopefully you'll join us for part two, where we cover the end of the season, the famous Oxford win, and the ensuing promotion party celebrations. Hopefully see you all soon. Cheers. Bye-bye.